listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone. Sorry about the technical difficulties tonight, but we are glad to have you joining us this Wednesday, January 13th. My name is Michael Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Sorry, I had a technical glitch and delay in my own self. I'm glad to be here, Michael. I'm glad you're working now.
We're making it. We're going to make it happen. This broadcast is going to go off, so help me.
That's right.
Welcome to everybody joining us. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, we are going to finally begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, now we're going to have a great chat tonight. It's about core values and maintaining boundaries. And I think core values is really coming to play right now because, you know, when the software doesn't work and the audio pickups don't come on for no reason at all, it makes you want to break something. But that would go against my core values of not losing my temper inappropriately.
Good for you. That was a good plan there. I liked it. You know, to start off, I Googled, because Google is our friend now, I Googled what Google thinks are core values. And I'm going to bring up 2 things here. One, listing 5 core values would be things like integrity, respect, responsibility, leadership. Mm-hmm. And another one goes with loyalty. Here's 9 core values: loyalty, passion, honesty, efficiency, reliability, dependability, optimism, positivity, and commitment. And I find it interesting that, you know, going to, like, Google has 2 different minds going here, of course, different sites. But what do you see as would be, let's say, 3 core values that you value the most yourself, Michael?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because core values often are in the eye of the beholder. I think that sometimes we can focus on what are the essential core values. And I think that's integrity. And that's, you know, commitment to what you think is right. And that can differ from person to person. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about core values, I think we're really also talking about ethics, you know. And I think being ethical is a critical core value, and it's one that is not simply a feel-good, nice thing. It is essential for human society. We have to have ethical values. We have to know right and wrong. But then again, right and wrong differs from, you know, culture to culture, community to community, then, doesn't it? But
it does. I agree. Ethics is a huge part of the discussion.
And so then can we say, is there a true set of objective core values? Now, of course, we have the core values that we all agree to that are largely outlined throughout the nine principles of belief. But, you know, we also have to look at what are our core values and why do we hold them dear? And also, is it possible to understand the core values of a different culture? Because we live in a very big world with varying cultures and varying viewpoints.
Well, now that poses a really good question. How much of our own core values is cultivated by how we're raised and our community? Mm-hmm. Like what we value the most. Now, we're not necessarily talking about beliefs. We're talking about what we value the most as, you know, those ethical components or mm-hmm. those ethical ingredients that we each might hold dear, again, dearest, which I think then you're absolutely right. It would vary tremendously from culture to culture.
You know, and excuse me, I was also thinking about, can you define objective morality? A lot of things exist in the gray zone of, you know, right and wrong. It's circumstantial, it's based on context, it's based on a lot of things. But are there truly objective rights and wrongs?
I think that's where the nine principles of belief honestly come into play. Yeah. Dr. Kelly did a great job of being as, I wouldn't say the words generic, but as true beyond culture, beyond everything, like do no harm is followed by do right. Mm-hmm. And whatever you feel your do right is, you know. So it's not like a thou shalt not. It's more about this is what you do to be someone of principle in a more humanitarian way. And that's where I think at reading the nine principles of belief, which you did off the top of the show in every program, is kind of where to follow. However, it's interpretive, I suppose, in you know, how you see the world. You know, Dr. Stephen is saying collective principles, universal values. Mm-hmm. Dr. Edward is posing the question about human universals from the bachelor's courses. Could there be universal core values? And Wendy's saying we can all agree on life, you know. And really good conversation going on in the chat room right now.
Absolutely.
And if I can just say, prior, Dr. Stephen had mentioned about distinguishing the core values from I as internal and them for the objective out there, which is kind of what we're getting at here, I think. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I would like to think when it comes to having an idea about an objective sense of morality, that if you were to start with the agreed premise that suffering should be limited whenever possible, and, you know, we should always make it an effort to do so, then you can extrapolate an objective sense of morality based on a living thing's level of intelligence, level of awareness would be a better way of putting it, and its ability to suffer, its ability to feel things. I mean, so plants are at the very bottom. That's why, you know, we all have to eat so vegans can justify ending a form of life. Because it's plant life. And of course,
I know that was a little dig there.
But, I mean, plants are living things nonetheless, but they have a very, very low level of awareness, and they can't really feel pain like animals can, or more complex organisms, as far as we know.
We speculate that. Apparently they can by some scientific studies.
This is true. I've read of some of those that... Yes, I. Dr. Stephen, have you never heard the plant screaming when one bites into them? Sometimes, but I always just thought that was in my head. But they have done studies, I think, where they, you know, would hook electrodes up to plants and then, you know, either think negative thoughts or, you know, perhaps light a fire, something like that, and it would react. So,
You know, it's like Dr. Kelly's favorite line often is, like, we live on a planet where everything eats everything. You know, and
right.
It's this food chain. And that's just the nature of our life on Earth. So being organic beings, you know, mm-hmm. everything has to feed itself and
right.
and take care of itself and, you know, as the cycles of life go.
But
in there, what are those ethics? What are those core values to evolution? Like, some people think that it's okay to, you know, keep digging a lot of oil wells and, you know, and that it's just an endless supply and there'll be no ramifications.
Mm-hmm.
And the core values, and I don't mean any play on words there, core drilling, but there's a different set of values when it fulfills a need. You know, you have a need, so you're going to go do that and you think that that's okay. What are the values there? So I think there has to be, when it comes to a universal core value, is that long-term thinking, which to me is more natural thinking and one of consequence. So if I behave this way, these things will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if we don't know what those are, then, and everybody else is doing certain things around us, we kind of fall into that trap, unless we can separate ourselves for a moment and say, maybe this isn't the way, you know, we ought to do it.
Right. And, you know, that it's bringing us to another great topic of when we have to go against the grain at times. But one thing I do want to wrap up real quick is on this idea of, you know, limiting suffering whenever possible. We understand mm-hmm. that we live in a world where an amount of suffering will happen. Dr. Edward Put, I wonder if the lion kills and then strikes the zebra if it apologizes. Nothing personal, but I'm hungry. But, you know, I would imagine not. But it is just part of life. That is the way of things. You know, we live on a planet where everything eats everything else. But could you not argue that it is cruel and unethical to cause unnecessary suffering?
Mm.
The lion is not doing it out of an act of cruelty. The lion's doing it is killing out of a need to live. It's part of the cycle of life. It's part of the, you know, overall interconnectedness of an ecosystem. Wherein you, with humanity, you will find the most beautiful aspects of nature and possibility in humanity. You will find the kindest souls. You will find the most wonderful people in humanity. And you will find the absolute worst that can be possibly thought of in humanity. We have the intelligence to run the full spectrum. You know, I know that there are cats out there and dogs and different things that are a lot meaner and angrier than others. I mean, but we humans have the ability to express and act on our intellect and our thoughts in a way that no other animal can. So we can have these discussions about core values and ethics, because I think ethics and right and wrong, in a sense of right and wrong, is integral to any core value, because you can excuse a lot. If somebody's gruff, they're kind of cranky and they're, you know, difficult to be around sometimes, but they go out of their way to help people in certain situations, like if somebody's broken down on the side of the road, or they, you know, would help step in a situation if somebody's being attacked, or if they, you know, give of their time or money to certain situations, you can understand that they do have in their core value a sense of wanting to make the world better. So you can kind of get a behind the surface layer and see what are the true core values that are deep within that really we believe in. And honestly, you know, sometimes, do we really hold the values that we think we do? Or are we really committed to those values? Or are we kind of going with the popularity of certain things? And that's kind of when we come to, is what the popular consensus is always what's right? And I think the obvious answer is no.
Well, I think you brought up a couple of really good points in there. One being, humans do have the intelligence to make decisions and choose a certain behavior. I think that may be a distinguishing consideration of intelligence between ourselves and other life forms mm-hmm. on Earth, that is. And, but then, you know, as Dr. Stephen is bringing up along with what you were talking about, Michael, are values intended to be guardrails to hem our social activities for the greater good. Well, then I would pose the question of what is it that we're deciding if we know something's not quite right? Because it's those guardrails in a society may not be in keeping with what somebody else might see as a good spiritual consideration. You know, certain guardrails are what some of us would see as quite prejudicial, you know, so, you know, to certain individuals. So, again, I go back.
I think we're losing you, Dr. Hunter. Can you still hear us? Or me, as it were? All right, well, I'm still trying to get Dr. Hunter back on the line, and I think we're back. All right.
I'm back.
I don't... So, has anybody ever heard of the term gremlins in the machines?
Gremlins?
Jamil. Jamil knows exactly what I'm talking about. The gremlins in the machine. They are always messing things up. I'm not sure entirely what happened.
I'm glad we're back. Thanks for bringing me back in, Michael.
I have to apologize to all those people that had to listen to me both try to think about something to say at the same time, figure out how the call dropped and get you back on.
That's funny.
Oh, this is going to be a great time.
As I was, just to kind of finish up what I was saying, is that we have this capacity to make good decisions. But we also have to have, I think, more spiritual considerations that are, again, more humanistic as opposed to just cultural. And then, as you mm-hmm. pose, Michael, what do you do when what you believe goes against the mode of your family or your community or your basic culture? And how do you kind of survive that, which I think is kind of where we're going next in this conversation. How do you stand by your principles, your core values? And somebody said, hey, look, I've come across a lot of situations in my life where someone is prejudiced against someone who's gay or, mm-hmm. you know, their race or other things. I'm the first one to say, do not speak like that around me.
Absolutely.
You and know, I stop it, and I have no problem with that. Now, there have been this so-called, if you'd say, well, you lose friends that way, and I go, okay, they're not my friend then. If that's...
They don't share your core values.
Exactly. Now, there's a lot of times I think we have to be, you know, very tolerant of people, but there's going to be a very... limited amount of conversation we're going to have, and I don't have to invite them to Sunday dinner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that I'm going to have to interact with certain people who are in a certain, you know, of a certain consciousness, but I decide how much we're going to be involved in our inner circle. You know, it's I can appreciate that people are all different, but it goes against my grain, and I stand to my ground. And again, I'm not going to, you know, win a popularity contest sometimes, but to me, I'm willing enough to stand by those core values and take those hits as opposed to fit in just to have a joke and belong, because
mm-hmm.
it's so against what I believe. But there are so many other little things in life that can seem smaller, and you say, oh, well, it's not a big deal.
Well,
but... To me, it might be a big deal.
It is, know? Because it's about we have to create the world that we want to see. And we do that not by just going along with things we don't agree with or by going along with a sentiment or an idea or a thought that is, you know, offensive. When we talk about trying to change things, they have to know that maybe a person who, you know, says something, makes a comment, maybe makes a joke that's inappropriate and you react to it, maybe they'll have to reflect on, oh, is that not accepted? Is that not right? And then maybe they'll have to think about that. You don't change the world by just going along with what everybody else is doing. And of course, we have to do it in a targeted way because, you know, I hate the idea of, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater, in the sense that there are certain things about society that I don't like, so let's just burn the whole thing down. Well, that's ridiculous. There's a lot of good, there's a lot of good common morality. If there weren't, we would not be here. If humans weren't inherently good in some fashion, we would not survive to in this level of complex society. We live in modern, you know, city civilizations of millions or billions, or at least 1.5 million, and we have got to have the ability to get along, and the only way that we can do that is with the code of ethics and morality, the, you know, social guardrails. And often you'll find what the right thing to do is, what the good thing to do is that makes you, you know, you feel good. It makes the idea of doing something just because it's the right thing to do pays dividends down the road, because often the right thing to do is the best thing to do for the long term, not just for you, but for humanity as a whole, and often for life as a whole. When we talk, oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think it's really important to insert about how to ask ourselves all the time, because we do adopt so many things without being conscious, is ask ourselves continually, does that check in, you know, with my core values, you know, and that deductive reasoning, inductive reasoning about little things. I got to tell you, even things like nursery rhymes, you know, when my kids are young and I had to really think about, what does that nursery rhyme mean? I go, oh my, you know, no, I'm not teaching my kids that. But they come home with it from school. And again, it's against, because I've become more aware now. But they're not aware, you know. And I find myself having a conversation with my kids about, yeah, that thing's not really cool. And I kind of do it in a way that's not offensive to, you know, say, oh, those people are wrong because they're not as aware as I am. You know?
Yeah.
But in those subtleties where we constantly visiting our automatic belief system so that we deprogram ourselves and then to be more consistent. And I think that is that's a kicker, to be consistent. How are you consistent? And I've used this analogy a lot too, is I don't allow drunks in my house, but every Christmas old Uncle Joey is always drunk and he's behaving badly and we just go along with the ride. Why do I allow old Uncle Joe to do that? You see, now I've become inconsistent. And it's not just a mode of behavior, because old Uncle Joe is damaging. See, I don't want that damaging thing into my life.
Right.
So,
well,
and don't get me wrong, it's not a criticism of drinking. It's the behavior that comes with, you know, that other violence.
Well, I hope not. I think a lot of people that are listening are drinking wine, apparently, which I don't blame you. But
yeah, there you go.
Also, I think that what you're talking about, Dr. Hunter, leads perfectly into the other half of our topic tonight, which we really haven't gotten into terribly much, and that's maintaining boundaries.
Exactly. That's the toughest thing of all, is how do you maintain those boundaries? And again, as an evolving society, we're not always going to win favors by trying to live in a very consistent manner and to be as consistent as possible. So it's to not have a set of rules for these people, a set of rules for those people, you know, and then we're living in these contradictions. It's to be as whole as we can possibly be from the inside out, you know, and that's a really tough one. That is an evolution. And I think that we all begin with our inner circle as much as we can, hopefully with the least amount of conflict. But whenever you stand your ground about something, you will be challenged. And that's the thing, is there's always going to be somebody to challenge you. And is that okay? Are you, you know, are you strong enough? Are you with yourself enough? Are you clear enough? Do you have an ability to articulate clear enough that it's just not in my core to be that way? It's a tough one.
Yeah.
Toughest one of all.
It is.
And look, Michael, you and I have both got a story where you've had to leave a way of life with mm-hmm. family for different reasons, but leaving a way of life because it was so against my core values. I have, you know, a very right-wing, conservative, religious, you know, blood family. And anything about me was so upsetting to their values, and they were upsetting to my core values. And the only way to manage that is to separate. Best thing I ever did. You carry that with you because you wish you were part of a family, but I went and created an extended family, one that is way more pleasant. I think there's always a grieving that happens when we have to leave certain people in our lives because we miss the best parts of them.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes things are so integral that you can't let them go. It's not a matter of, oh, somebody's got bad table manners. I'm talking about really integral things that...
I'm talking about toxic behaviors and things that are harmful to others. Behavioral traits and even abusive.
Harmful to my mind. Yeah, harmful to my well-being. And so we have to make those tough decisions. So you and I, and particularly Dr. Kelly, your dad, you know, you get to that crossroads where you say, oh, this is not good for my being and all elements of my being. And I have to give up a certain part of my life in order to evolve. And having the courage to do that. And it does take courage. I make no bones about that.
Mm-hmm. It takes a lot.
But it's also the relief on the other side to not be aggravated all the time. Which is, whew, freedom. This is...
Well, we're such a social people. And I would say humans are inherently tribal. We feel very connected to the community. And when we feel that our community is not doing the right thing, it is very difficult to stand against it. And it does take courage, just like you said, Dr. Hunter. And I couldn't agree more.
It does. And it's, so this is where, how do you create those boundaries? Well, I'm comfortable to say I know who I am. And anybody who knows me knows that somebody said once, I sure don't take much crap. I said, that's not true. There's just certain boundaries that cannot be crossed.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, we all learn tolerance and patience and, going with the flow of life, because there's all kinds of people that do wonky things, in my view, but that's just opinion. So we're back to, some of these really core, really good core values taught in the bachelor's program
mm-hmm.
at IMHS and TFU that, don't give unsolicited advice. It's a perfect one.
Oh, absolutely.
And others are, great lessons about cognitive dissonance, contradictions in our nature. And again, the list is long where the program does set that out. So, I'm, plugging the school as we should. But Dr. Kelly's been really clear to, have people think about those core values and how you stand in them. And, and it's not just about you should and you shouldn't and stuff. It's just visit those things in yourself. Principle versus preference.
Uh-huh.
This is what we do with the, inner oracle cards. We're going to get onto that right away. The self-discovery cards, what is a principle versus a preference? And I think that hits big to core values. So if it's against my principles or against a law, then we have to stand clear in that. But what is that standing up in it? Because you got to look at, there's going to be a price here. And you got to check in, is the price worth it? And what good do you see coming of it? And, all those questions that you have to pose to yourself. And that's a very personal thing. And it's on your own journey. And if you don't, very often, as Dr. Kelly says, you don't do it now, you have to do it later.
Right.
Maybe later is better because you're better equipped for it. or there's a different circumstance that kind of evolves and gives you a better opportunity to be clearer. So it's just visiting all those questions in your mind as you start developing those boundaries. Because boundaries are developed with more of a clarity of who you are.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It doesn't happen overnight.
I think, you know, it doesn't. But I think also talking about core values, one of the most important core values to a healthy life, a healthy society, is not trying to control others. And yes. I think I can respect somebody who does not agree with me philosophically or ideologically if they are of the opinion that everybody has a right to their belief and they do not judge or persecute you. And I'm not talking about an extremist. I'm talking about people you had mentioned, like right-wing conservatives. Mm-hmm. I have been friends, and well, not to give anything away, but I have had friends that were right-wing conservatives, and we debate. I'm giving away a bit of my own ideological beliefs here, but we debate, we have good conversations, and as long as we agree on the core principles of, you know, everything has a right to life, that everybody has the freedom of choice, freedom of belief, then I can get along with it. I can understand, at least I can respect it. But what I can't respect are hypocrites. What I can't respect are people that consistently try to control others when they have no right to force beliefs on others when they have no right to. I get very disappointed when with the cruelty shown often against those that do not align with their perception of belief.
I agree. But you know, Dr. Stephen has just mentioned in the chat, determining core values is certainly an interesting conversation when two people decide to marry.
Mm.
You know, that actually, Stephen, is a great program. That in itself is a program about how well and in what ways do two people get to know each other before they decide to embark in that partnership. We're going to figure out an angle of how to title that, but I think it's a great conversation, and core values being right at the center of it. So Wendy is saying, all of my friends are on the other spectrum of politics and of religion. For me, we know this and respect our differences. I completely agree, Wendy. As Michael said, I have people who all believe different things. Mm-hmm. As long as they don't judge and bring harm to others.
Exactly. Do no harm, do right.
That's where I draw the line. If it starts to infringe, I speak up.
Yeah, absolutely. I can respect those that have the similar goals and that we want to make the world a better place. If they have differences on how we get there, I get that. But,
I had a client many years ago who was from Lebanon, but he happened to be a Christian from Lebanon, which is rare. Mm-hmm. And we ended up having several different kinds of conversations after that, even just socially or on the phone, because I was really interested in who he was. And he brought and showed me this really cool old Bible that he had in the family. It was wonderful. And I found, you know, at his core, this is a really good human being. His boundaries kind of stepped over the lines in many ways. And he and I would talk about that, about, he is good and he is kind. He was imposing some judgments on others who weren't of other belief systems. Like, if you did wrong, this is your punishment, you know?
Yeah.
But I find it interesting. And we could have these respectful conversations when we're on different parts of the universe from the way we see life in the world. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
as life goes, we all carry on. It wasn't somebody I was going to be a lifelong friend with, but that's fine too.
That makes me think of a joke, and I'd love to credit the comedian that said this. I just can't think of who it was. But a comedian said, and they were an agnostic comedian, they said, you know, my best friend, you know, my whole life is Christian, and you know, I've always respected that he never tried to convert me or push his beliefs on me. But then one day it kind of dawned on me, maybe I should be offended because he is devoutly Christian and he believes that I'm going to go to hell. And he never once tried to save me once.
Oh, that's funny. My daughter called me yesterday, and my oldest daughter, and she said, okay, they got me. I said, who got you? And she said, they had me on the phone for 8 minutes. I can't believe I got had. It was somebody called her up saying, hey, I live in the neighborhood. You know, I've just had some dilemmas, and went on and on. And so she's interested, like, who are you? Like, what is it? So now she's engaged. Well, it's Jehovah's Witnesses finding new tactics. And she said, Mom, I can't believe he had me on the phone for 8 minutes of my life I realized.
They clocked that time in, too. That's like a time card you punch. That's 8 minutes off my chart.
So I thought that was pretty funny. But she respectfully said, you know, thank you, I'm not of that mind. And so he was talking about God the Father, and she said, well, where's God the Mother? And he goes, oh, you're one of those. And she said, yes.
Well, I mean, it's essentially, if we're going to talk about the theory of a God, would God not be genderless or both genders combined? You know, is more to the
exactly.
point.
Exactly. But that would require critical thinking.
So. Oh, come on now. Is that asking so much?
Oh, did I just pass the judgment there? Oops. I guess we better get on with some
yeah,
words.
Yeah, we've been, we have.
Before the program, Dr. Stephen had written in the chat wanting this show a little longer. Well, he might get his wish if we keep talking.
Well, to be fair, I think we do have about 5 minutes of dead air to make up for. It's like a snow day when the year goes a little bit longer because of the snow day.
Well, we have Edward up first that I have on my list. So let's draw cards for Edward. We're going to do the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards for those who are new to us. And I back it up with the tarot card. So we'll see what support energy is there in the message for each of our audience members.
All right.
I've written in the chat, Dr. Edward being first.
All right. So while I've been rambling on the last few minutes, I have been shuffling the cards. And Dr. Edward, I pulled wild card number 7, Hope.
Huh. Like it.
Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. There we go. Okay. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Well, I love that you got the Emperor in support of the Hope card, Edward. That would say to me some shifts and changes in a certainty about who you are, being your own boss. And that's kind of what the Emperor is. You know, he's come into himself. He's an overseer. He can have a different insight and a clarity. And because it's not the negative side of the Emperor in this case, because it's supported with the Hope card, it's bringing out the better. So that leadership in yourself. So I would say that something has shifted even in the last week or so of you gaining a greater strength in your autonomy, in who you are, as I say, as a free sovereign being of the universe. And you're your own boss, and you've got that hope hooked right in you, and that's mm-hmm. awesome.
And I like cool. I like pulling that one again, too. I'm pretty sure we pulled that last week. It definitely rings a bell, and I'm glad to see it. Let's get this year off to a hopeful start, huh?
Well, Wendy, our card keeper, will let us know if all the, familiar cards. She's keeping track these days. Well, I'm glad. Thanks for saying that. Edward's feedback is that card resonates with me. That's good. Good to hear.
Very nice.
So we have Jamil next, Michael.
All right. And we have number 5, Law of Control. Fits nicely in, too. Mm-hmm. All right. Law of Control. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The law of control says that you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
Ooh, well, in support of that, Jamil, here's a message for you. In the Seven of Clubs, Seven of Wands in Tarot Talk, it's just being protective for a moment, just sitting back and, you know, as the law of control would say, you know, you have some options, and it's saying here at the moment to me is just stand still and wait. And wait till there's more information. I do have this sense of maybe you want to barricade yourself from some of that negative energy that might be around. And I don't mean barricade so that you hole up by yourself. I'm just saying ward it off or put this little buffer of a white light between yourself and others. And just at this moment, what comes to my mind, at least for the next 4 weeks. I don't know why that's so strong in my head, Jamil. But 4 weeks, just kind of lay low. You know, just go with the flow, go about your life, and some of that other, you know, energy will kind of pass. So you don't want to control it, in other words. The law of control is, for the moment, is just bide your time and ride it out. I hope that makes sense, because that's the message that kind of comes through. We have Catherine next, Michael.
All right, Catherine. I have number 24, truth.
I like it.
There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is a truth in something or in a direction. Very interesting.
Well, now you got the moon in support of that, Catherine. So that makes it a little more mysterious here, because there are times in life where the next stage or the next circumstances and the next series of events is outside our familiarity. In other words, outside our purview. And we have to be comfortable enough that there are some changes coming. They're good changes. Not to worry about that, because you're true to your truth and how you see that. So it's finding that inner sense of, I got this, because there's an unfolding kind of as it goes. And when you have the moon, well, yeah, can mean a lot of things, but in this case it's more about new information coming. Things that have been concealed or that you didn't know about before is going to surface. And then of course you'll have more information, learning, and changing. So I like that myself. I welcome things that are unfamiliar to me. I like to learn. Because I trust myself in knowing I'll be okay to manage that. So.
Well, you know me, I hate to learn, and change is scary, but moving
well,
on.
Well, it is scary. It is, especially if it unnerves your the basic foundation of your life, like where am I going to live, where am I going to, you know.
Those are scary changes, yes. I mean, I was just trying to be glib, but no, you're absolutely right. Change is scary, but yeah. It's something to embrace. I think we talked about that, was it last week, the uncertainty of life, or probably the week prior?
Yeah. Catherine's response is that it fits perfect with her new moon intention set today. She says she's also a moonologist. Oh, you'll have to tell us more about that, Catherine. I love that.
Yep. All right, so we have Wendy next, and I think after Wendy, we are going to pull a card for Andrew as well. So let's see, Wendy. Okay. Wendy, I have number 40, relationships. Let's see. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it is with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. this card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship, or to the relationship of one thing to another.
And in support of that, I got the Two of Diamonds. It's the Two of Pentacles. And that's sometimes a juggling act. You know, it's like keeping things in balance. And for relationships, sometimes we have to just go with the flow. And even though things, you might think that things need to be addressed, maybe the timing isn't right. You know, it's keeping the balanced nature to it. Or some things that need addressing that you put off too long, you got to balance it out. So it's balancing relationships. But also in this case, maybe balancing work to your home life, to your friends, and just balancing that in all matters of relationships.
I think Wendy just mentioned that work is a big part of that right now.
Ah, okay. I didn't read that. That's good to know. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So it's just a good balance. Try to keep a balance in there. Okay, so we have for Andrew. Welcome, Andrew. And
all right. And I have in Oracle card number 17, Reinvention. I hope this resonates.
Yeah, it does.
Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, here we go again, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented?
Well, Andrew, I'd say you're going through some changes because you got the Magician in support of that. Now, keep in mind that the Magician can take some really crappy stuff and make beautiful things. And things you may not like in yourself, you don't like in life, you're able to transform that. So this reinvention is the reinvention of yourself, but it's also the reinvention of how you might want to manage some things in your life. And I think you've got this from everything. This is an affirmation that you're on the right track in thinking about that. I think some of these things in your life are changing and certainly improving because you have this new, this is what this indicates to me, a new management skill. Looking at some of your core values and saying, yeah, I do know how to do that. I have the skills. I love that. I think it's very exciting.
Very nice. Very nice.
Is there anybody else that I might have missed, Michael?
I don't think so. I just was taking a quick look through chat. I think we got everybody. But, of course, you know, we're going to have a few minutes while we wrap up here. So if you want to hurry up and throw your name in, we'll try and catch it before we end the broadcast tonight. But, you know, it's been a fun one. Started out with some technical glitches. Gremlins in the machine are the only explanation. I mean, there's no reason it shouldn't have worked, but it didn't. Had to restart a couple of things, but it got going. And that's just another lesson, isn't it? Even when things are tough, you make it happen, you keep pushing forward, and thank you all for being so patient for us tonight.
Well, if I can throw in a quick little story to everybody.
Sure.
I had a really rough night of sleeping last night. I was up probably every hour. Nothing made sense to me. I'd go into all these wacky dreams. Things were pretty bonkers. Well, I live in a house on the upstairs, and there are, you know, other tenants downstairs. Well, I, this afternoon, found out that the young guy downstairs died through the night. And I also, I said, oh, that's good to know that the energies, because that's what I've been picking up on. And so whenever these things do happen, I'm not entirely surprised when things in my world go a little bit wonky, even with glitches with computers, because there's his spirit's unsettled, and I feel that. And it's not my business to help him. I'm here if he wants, but I think that he's going through his own adjustment. Now, that's my reality and my world and how I interpret some things. It may not be what somebody else might see, but for me, that is, it totally explains why I couldn't sleep, why I was so discombobulated, and my psyche was out, because the last thing I would have thought of is that he, you know, somebody downstairs was no longer in their body. So, and so it's just, you know, as we go through life, there's always these other things going on, and you ride them out and weather them, but it's being in tune to how it's not uncommon then for electrical energies to be a little bit out of whack, and it'll settle down. You know, Audra did ask if she could have a card. Michael, are we prepared? Are we good?
We are good. We're having a little fun. I'd even start. Our careful listeners will have noticed that we briefly started and then stopped the music, but we did it just in time because Audra needs to get a card tonight.
Yes, she
did. She joined us late, and of course she gets a card. Absolutely. And Audra, I got number 36, gratitude.
All right.
Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
Well, you know, in support of that is the Fool. I love the Fool. It's the first card in the tarot. New beginnings. Of course, it does an element of caution. Don't fall off the cliff. You know, don't go too fast, too hard at once. But there are new beginnings, and it's to delight in those new beginnings and that you're ready again. Now, I know you've been through a lot of changes in the last year, Audra, but this is another new beginning kind of. I always, in my visuals, like the escalator ride going up to the next floor, you know, so you can gradually, step by step, things are improving. So there's like new little things coming to you, and I like that. So look forward, be optimistic, and you don't have to push anything. It'll all just unfold. You just participate. So it's good. That's a
very
good
nice. Very nice. All right. Well, even though it was a little bit late, we are so happy to see you, Audra, tonight. And thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. It's been a little bumpy, you know. Sometimes you might you might think the world imperfect or things, you know, don't always go off according to plan. But, you know, it has been an engaging discussion. And I was looking forward to this, being able to talk with you, Dr. Hunter, see our group gathered again, have a fun time in chat. And we appreciate you joining us, and we appreciate those that listen to the archives as well, and we hope that you get something out of this. But I think that we're going to have to toss around a couple of ideas about what we're going to dig into next week. I know we've already discussed a couple of things, but it's going to be an interesting one. We'll go ahead and, you know, post it ahead of time, of course.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to you joining us. So until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.